First Samuel 15. Start in verse 9. We'll start in verse 8. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and has passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel said to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessing be thou of the Lord. Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the word of God, and I pray, Lord, that these truths penetrate into our heart. I pray, Father, we wouldn't be playing around with notes and papers right now, but we'd be paying attention to the preaching of the word of God. Father, we've come here to have fun, but Father, we've come here to hear from you. And your word is how you speak to us. So I pray, Heavenly Father, you would please use the preacher today. Father, we can't do anything without you. If you don't show up, no one's going to get anything from this message. So I pray, Father, you just work in our hearts, Lord. May we be attentive. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll tell you, that's a big word, but, there in verse 9. But the little words in the Bible mean a lot. Because Saul was told to do something, but he disobeyed. So you need to pay attention to that. And the problem today with the world is that they've decided that they can do a better job than God. And they believe they don't need God or His Word to live or to make their choices in life. There may be some here of you that think the same way. That you can make your own choices apart from the Word of God. You may say, I don't act like it. But Saul thought he knew better than God. And when you read verse 9 again, But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed utterly. Now, when we read that verse again, it seems that Saul made a decision to rebel against the commandment of God. He made a choice to decide what was good and what was vile. He made that choice. But he was told to utterly destroy all of the Amalekites and everything. And Saul decided he was going to make a choice on what was good and what was vile. What was right and what was wrong. What should be spared and what should not. So in fact, Saul said in his heart, I decide who lives and who dies. Saul is not God. God is God. You are not God. God is God. You don't make the choices. God makes the choices. You're not right. God is right. Do we have that down now? Do we understand that? You see, Saul said, I'll say what's good, and I'll say what stays alive. But God had already told him to utterly destroy. He was making the choices on what he thought he should do. And he openly and willingly rebelled against the commandment of God. When we read verses 1 through 3, it says, Samuel also said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for them in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling ox, and sheep, camel, and ass. And if you want to know why all of them should have been destroyed, you're going to have to ask God is right. Because God said they all are to be destroyed. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Has God made a wrong decision here? No, He never does anything wrong. If we can't understand it, we're going to have to leave the secret things to God. But I believe God did exactly what God should have done. Because God is right. And God always makes the right decisions. Amen? So the world today sadly says they make the same choice to willingly rebel against God. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did in the garden. Eve may have been deceived and beguiled by the serpent, but Adam willingly, headlong, eyes wide open, disobeyed God. He was a rebel. He disobeyed God. Now, people have to make up their mind whether they need God or they don't need God in their lives. And many people have made up their mind. And they said they don't need God in their lives. In fact, the Bible says that in Romans chapter 1. Turn to Romans chapter 1. You know, sometimes we get to thinking we're better than the people out there that aren't saved. You're no better than them. You're saved. You've got the same sins in your heart. You've got the same sins in your heart. But by God's grace, you're not committing those sins. We need to remember that. In Romans chapter 1, verse 28, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Which are not convenient. You see, they will not even think about God when they're pressed to do so. These people don't even want God in their mind. The world chooses not to know God, to serve Him or to glorify Him. They don't love Him. They don't obey Him. And knowingly do things that they know are against His character and His law. That's what they do. What a wicked world we live in. What a dark world. And this world needs the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And if we get anything when we leave from this place, it should be that our hearts are right with God, and we want to go out and tell those people there, out there, those people who are unsaved, that are in darkness, that they can be saved. They can know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and come out of that darkness. But let me ask you a question. What about you? What about you? All the young people here, where do you stand with God? Do you love God? Do you love God? Does He have absolute control over your life? I want you to really look at your own heart today. Don't have to look around at anybody else. Do you love God? You sing the song, "Oh, how we love Jesus." But does He have control of your life? You say, look at verses 29. Verse 29. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, deceit, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers." Look at verse 32. "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Now you might say, "I don't belong in that group. That's not me. I don't belong there." But let me tell you something. All those sins are in your heart. All those sins are in your heart. And you may even not know what some of those things are. You may not even know what the Bible's talking about in some of those things. You certainly don't even know what the word means. But would you look at verse 30 with me? Verse 30 says, "Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents." Stuck right in the middle of the whole thing. Disobedient to parents. We fit right in there. Every one of us in this room fit right in there like a hand in a glove. So when you read Romans chapter 1, you better think about it. Is your life right with God? Don't think about the effeminate and the fornicators and the adulterers out there. Look in your own heart, because all those sins are in your heart. But I'll tell you what, as a backbiter, you could be a backbiter, a slanderer. You talk bad about people. You talk about your friends behind their back. You ever talk about your friends behind their back? You're a backbiter. Maybe you're a hater of God. You say, "No, I don't hate God. I love God." You say, "That's not me." Well, I say to you then, where is God's authority in your life? Where does God stack up in your life? Is He first? Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Keep your finger here. In Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters." Now think about that. No man. So don't think you can. God's right and you're wrong, right? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You're only going to serve one or the other. You can't walk the fence with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have one foot in the world and then one foot in Christ. You can't come to church on Sunday and on Monday be doing all these wicked things in your life and disobeying your parents, being backbiters and proud and boastful. You can't do it. You can't do both. Because you'll either hate the one and love the other, or you'll despise the one and hold to the other. Every time you choose to hold on to the things of this world, you despise God. And so do I. Every time you choose the world over the things of God, and then you put anything before the Lord, or you serve anything before God and His commands, then you show hate towards Him. You show hate towards Him. Because you're loving the other master, whatever it is you put ahead of Him. So don't try to change the truth into a lie. Don't try to change what God has said. Let's look at ourselves in the mirror of God's Word. And though we're going to have fun this week and all that, I want you to look into your heart and say, who am I before God? Because the title of this message is Repentance or Rebellion. It's one or the other, but it's your choice. You're either going to repent or you're going to rebel against God. But it's your choice. And you can't change the truth of God into a lie. God says it, and that's it. It's God or it's mammon. It's His way or it's your way. You hold to Him or you despise Him. You love Him or you're a hater of God. You can be despiteful. Romans 1, remember it talked about despiteful. That means you insult people. You don't treat people right. And every one of us at times has not treated somebody right. So we've been despiteful. Even think harm towards someone. The word is used two other times in the Bible. They're both in Ezekiel, and they're both referring to the enemies of Israel. I don't want to be in that bunch of people, you understand? Thinking harm toward Israel. They were despiteful. How about proud? That's another word in there. Think you're better than others? Puffed up? Haughty in spirit? That's what it means to be proud. Making judgments of others? Maybe with a hypocritical spirit. Most of the time when somebody's making fun of somebody else because they got a problem in their own heart. They're the ones with the problem. They're trying to drag somebody else down to their level. How about boasters? That's when you take proud to another level. Now you walk around like you're a bandy rooster, like you're the big shot. You know? Real proud. Bragging. Everybody, look at me. How about inventor of evil things? What's that? What's an inventor of evil things? You think about evil things. They're in your mind. And you think about them. The thought comes in and you dwell on it. And you think about it. And you're inventing evil things in your mind. You conjure up bad thoughts. You might think evil towards your friends. You might think evil towards your parents. You might think evil towards your pastor. You might be thinking evil towards me right now. You don't like this message, maybe. Maybe you just don't like it. I don't know. That's an inventor of evil things, you see. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Take that little word "is." For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. He's doing it. He is that thing that he's thinking about. That's what the Bible says. Doing evil. You're doing evil when you think about it and you're meditating on that evil thing and you're conjuring up, inventing evil things. You are becoming that thing. Do you see? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You're an inventor. You're a designer of evil things. You make evil things in your heart. And the last one there was disobedient to parents. I don't have to explain that one, do I? Nobody has to go to the Greek for that one, do they? We're disobedient to our parents. We don't listen. We have to be told everything over and over and over again. Mom shouldn't have to raise her voice and say it 15 times. And God shouldn't have to tell us 15 times to do something either. But we're disobedient. There's something that you need to repent of. There's something in your heart that you're rebelling against God about. And you just need to get right with God on Tuesday before Friday and Saturday ever show up. Get it right now. Not just having fun in the games. Getting right in your heart with God. Repent of it. How many times have you been told to do something by your mom and dad? Do you rebel against God-given authority in your life? Do you feel boxed in by the rules? And the first chance you get, you're out of here. The moment I can get out from under this roof, I feel like I'm in a box. And God wants that box in your heart so that no matter when you leave the home, you want to obey God because God is your authority. And your parents, you find it very easy to listen to them and do what you're told to do. That box should be in your heart. You shouldn't feel boxed in. You're just a rebel. That's all you are. Anybody who's disobeying their mom and dad or God is a rebel. You're rebelling against God. Now, where do you stand with God? Where do you stand now with God? If you found something in your own heart, I'll tell you where you stand. You stand in need of repentance. You stand in need of repentance. As I said, that's the title of my message. It's repentance or rebellion. What's the meaning of repentance? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And in verse 9, the Bible says, "Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death." Have you ever sorrowed in your heart about sin? Really been sorry about what your sin has done to our Lord Jesus Christ by putting Him on that cross? He had to pay for our sin. Did you get sorry about that? I'm not just sorry about your circumstances either, but sorrow, repentance that produced an action in you or a change of mind and your heart about your condition, maybe as a lost sinner here today. I know there's one person lost in here. I know that. I know that, that young man, and I want him to get saved before the end of the week. But there may be some others in here that are unsaved. And he may not even totally understand repentance, but we're going to talk to him. We're going to try to get him saved before he leaves there. I want him to understand, though, he's got to feel sorry for his sin. He's got to see himself as lost. He's got to see himself as God sees him. Hopeless. He needs Christ, and he needs to repent. Have you ever come to that point of repentance? True repentance? That you felt so sorry about your sin that it changed your heart and mind towards God. Repentance is a sorrow for things done or said, a regret for past conduct, deep contrition, brokenness. You see how we gloss over repentance? True repentance is a brokenness inside. People, you must see yourself as God sees you, that you have sin in your heart, and it's causing a division between you and God. Your sin has separated you from Almighty God. Now, for the Christian, this little girl here had a great desire to join the church. And the pastor asked if she had experienced a change of heart. And she answered, yes. Were you a sinner before? Yes. Are you a sinner now? The pastor said. Again, she answered, yes. Well, then what's the difference? The pastor said. After a brief moment of thought, she said, before I was converted to Christ, I was a sinner running after sin. Now I'm a sinner running away from sin. Amen. I think that's what I am. I'm just a sinner trying to run away from sin now. You see, that's real repentance. Stops doing a sin. Not just less of it. Boy, did that hit me. I hope that got some of you. Repentance, real true repentance, stops doing the sin. Not just less of it. Come on. John the Baptist preached it in Matthew chapter 3. I'm not going to go through all these verses. John the Baptist preached it. Jesus preached it. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, he said. All through Revelation to the churches, except you repent. Repent. Come back to your first love. The apostles preached it in Mark 6:12. Peter preached it in 2 Peter 3:9. God's reaching out to all the lost. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should. Yes. But he wants them to repent. And then Paul preached it. Paul preached it. The times that God winked at you, remember? But now he commands all men to what? Repent. And that's our preaching too. You need to repent. Whatever's in your heart, you need to turn from it. You need to repent. Stop playing games with God. Saul is an example of an unrepentant heart. He made a choice to disobey God. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15. In verse 19, it says, "Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" Partial obedience is disobedience. Don't think you just did almost everything God said. You've disobeyed God. He partially obeyed. Leaders must take responsibility to obey. And there's a ton of verses here. But it cost not only Saul the throne, but his children in succession of the throne. Do we forget about that? Saul did what he wanted to do and it affected everyone around him. God requires obedience over sacrifice in verse 22. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken the fat of rams." It's a requirement. You must do this. You must obey the voice of the Lord. Not just go around sacrificing for the Lord, because God says, just obey me. That is what I'm looking for. Obedience from the Christian. God sees the heart over the action. God sees the heart over the action. In verse 17, "And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? When I saw you were just a humble guy, Saul, I made you a king. I allowed you to be a king, even though you were the people's king, because God looks at the heart. That's why I want you to get your heart right with God. That's why I want you to see what that sin is that's got you being a little rebel and repent of it and get right with God. Go home from here different, even the rest of this week. Change something in your life. Don't gloss over this message. It's not me preaching, it's the Bible telling you to repent. I'm really serious about this. We could go the rest of the week and go home and have a big hoopla about it, but nothing changed in your heart. God help us if nothing changes in our heart. God knows the motive and intents of our heart. In verse 11, it says, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandment. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night." God knows the motive. God knew Saul's heart. Hebrews 4:12 tells us the same thing. It gets in there right where we live in and divides between soul and spirit and the thoughts and intents of our heart. The Word of God will help you if you start reading it and start studying it and doing your devotions. It will help you. It will help you. It will keep you clean. It will keep you on the right path. To disobey is rebellion against God, and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Adam and Eve rebelled. If you want to look at the witchcraft, it's in Deuteronomy chapter 18. All the wicked things that the heathen were doing around Israel. All the wicked things they were doing. And God says it was witchcraft, and He said it was an abomination. So if we disobey, it's rebellion, and rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. You might as well just be doing black magic. That's what God says. Not doing the will of God reveals a stubborn nature. Saul had a stubborn nature. Stubbornness is sin and the worship of one's selfish ways. Saul was unrepentant in his heart. He wanted forgiveness for selfish reasons and appearance only. That's the only reason Saul came and wanted forgiveness. In verse 15 and verse 21 tell us that. Saul listened to the people. He didn't listen to God. Obeying your friends out of fear of not being cool or not being part of the crowd or the possibility of being different is sin. How do you like that? When you listen to your friends over your parents and over God, you have sinned against God because you're more worried about being cool. It's a sin when your choices contradict God's Word. It's the same for me or anyone else in here. When you decide to do something other than what God has said. David is an example of full repentance. In Psalm 32, we'll look at two. Psalm 32, just a couple verses. Psalm 32, and in verse 5, he says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. You see, he opened it up to God. He acknowledged it before God. Because what? God already knows. God already knows you're a sinner just like me. God already knows the sin you're hiding in your heart. He's just saying, why don't you just acknowledge it to me? Why don't you just feel sorry about it? Why don't you just stop doing it instead of just less of it? David repented. He trusted God too in verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. You see? He trusted in God and repented. And God will have mercy. God will always be God. Do you know that? He'll always do what he said he'll do. You don't have to worry about that. Psalm 51. The problem is we don't trust God. We love our sin. Psalm 51. And in verse 3. He says the same thing almost. In verse 3 he says, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Look, he just took personal account of his own sin, and he laid it before the Lord, and he acknowledged it, and he asked for forgiveness. You know what God did? He purged all that sin. He blotted out his transgressions. And David became a soul winner all over again, and praised God, and gave sacrifices to God, sacrifices of praise to God. You know, we could be given a whole lot of false sacrifices out of our lips, if we're not right with God, and we're singing all these praises to God. They're all false sacrifices. God sees our heart. I want us to realize that. We could be standing here like a bunch of hypocrites praising the Lord, and we have sin in our heart. Why don't we just get right? I won't have to go through it again. There's a difference between Saul and David. All right? Saul was for Saul. He wrought great victories when he sought God and was little in his own sight and was just humble. David, though, was a man after God's own heart. David was humble. He was a compassionate shepherd boy at heart who God chose to become king. I can't tell you how much God wants to look down into your heart today and find a little David out here somewhere. Could be a girl or a boy. Somebody who has a heart for God. And he just wants to put his power on you and use you to glorify him. He wants to do that. David was just a man after God's own heart. But I'll tell you, there's hard hearts out there, and there's hard hearts in here. Still today, still tonight, right now, this afternoon. Be careful, because you don't realize just how hard that heart can get. There can come a time when you don't hear from the voice of the Lord anymore. You won't hear the Holy Spirit anymore. You don't want to come to that place. If you hear His voice today, repent. I'm going to give you a chance to repent. You need to do that. Revelation 9:20 says, and this is during the tribulation, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, so they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. And in Revelation 9:21, neither repented they of their murders nor their sorceries. And it goes on and on and on. As God poured out His wrath, they hardened their hearts and they repented not. Don't think your heart can't get just as hard. Sitting right here at a youth camp. Revelation 16:9. Men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give Him glory. Can you imagine? And blasphemed God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Hey, you remember all those who preached repentance? I was telling you Jesus preached it. John the Baptist preached it. Someone else preached it too. Look in Luke chapter 16. Just give me a few more minutes here. We'll be done. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. This will blow you away. Luke chapter 16 and verse 30. This is the rich man in hell. And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And what does Abraham say? And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Even a man burning in hell, crying out in torment, is pleading to tell his family, "Send somebody back to my brothers so that they'll repent." He says, "You don't want to come to this place. I just want to drop a water on my tongue. I'm burning here forever. Would somebody go tell my family so that they'll what? Repent." He's doomed forever. But he knows that they need to repent. How about you tonight? You ready to repent? He wants his five brothers to avoid this place. There is a judgment, you know. He wants them to repent. So what can I do? What are you going to do? You can repent and get things right with God. Because He's right and you're wrong. That's just as simple as that. No matter what you're thinking in your heart now, He's right and we're wrong. Participating in all the filth of this world, I thought about this, and this is what I came up with. If you're participating in all the filth of this world in some way, in one way or another, then, and it's against God and His Word, you might as well take a straw and stick it into a cesspool and take a nice long drink. Because that's just what it is. You are pulling in all that filth down into your heart. And it's defiling you. You might as well just go get a straw and suck out the cesspool out here if you can find it. Because that's what you're doing. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. In Jeremiah 31, 18 through 19 is an example of repentance, talking about you must bear the reproach or the shame in your youth. Why not repent now and get right with God? Why allow all these circumstances and all the consequences to come that are going to come from the decisions that you make right now that are against God? I guarantee you they're going to come. I didn't get saved until I was 35 years old. I had a lot of consequences in my life from what I came out of. A lot of consequences. Make the right choices now and avoid it. You don't need a scarred conscience or a seared conscience. Or you don't need to defile your body with things. You can get your life right now. Maybe you even need to be saved. But why not repent now and get right with God and avoid the consequences of those sins that you're committing? And even that sinful attitude you have right now, maybe. Get rid of it. You need to believe the Bible and see yourself the way God sees you. Just one more over to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Remember what we read in chapter 1? Well, in Romans chapter 2, it goes on. In verse 1 it says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Time to repent. It's time to get right with God in the youth camp. Right now. Right now. You'll see a huge change in this youth camp. Because hearts will be changed. Not the outside. Start in the heart. Believe the Bible. See yourself the way God sees you. Lost. Or backslidden. It's either one or the other. Or maybe you're right with God. Good. You need to be praying for others then. Jesus died for your sins. So what's it going to be, young people? The blood can wash you all clean, Christian. So what's it going to be? Rebellion or repentance? It's your choice. Let's bow our heads. Bow your head. First to the Christian, of Revelation 3:19, I want your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Revelation 3:19 says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, I will sup with him, and he with me. Let me ask you, young person, Christian, is God knocking this afternoon at the door of your heart? Why don't you let him back into your life, teenager? Why don't you let him back into your life, young person? Make sure your eyes are closed. Nobody looking around now. Even the adults here. There may be something in your life. Don't worry about the person next to you. This is not about being cool. This is about being clean. Now look, if there's something in your life, if there's something in your life that you know God's spoken to you about, and you're going to get yourself right with God, I'd like to pray for you. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. People are dealing with the Lord right now. I want you to just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand. If there's something in your life that you're going to get right, God's spoken to you. Amen. Amen. I see those hands. Amen. You can put them down. Amen. You can put them down. Some people will raise their hands. See, God's dealing with something in their heart. But there might be some lost people out here. In Acts 20:20 says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Teenager, without Christ, if you died right now, you'd go straight to hell. You don't want to wait. You have to see yourself as God sees you, lost and dying, hopeless sinner under the condemnation of God. I'm going to read these verses to you. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Let me say, today is the day of salvation. Today is the time to believe and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you want to be saved right now and know you have an eternal home in heaven, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Just put your hand up. If you don't know for sure you're saved, you don't know for sure you're saved. I see one. Is there anyone else? Two. Is there anybody else that doesn't know they're saved? Three. All right. Brother, could you make sure that you're just paying attention here? One, two, three. I see four hands. All right, put your hands down. Father,
I just want to thank you, Lord, for working through your word, for the Holy Spirit of God who has moved. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that any decisions that were made sincerely out of a repenting heart towards you, Lord. And Father, we just want to give you the glory. We want to thank you, Father, that we can all be here and we're learning and we're growing. But Lord, we're also want to get clean before you so we can have a great youth camp, Lord. Father, thank you for what you are doing. You get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.